Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God bless you all on this blessed Wednesday. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church of Christ Eliza Message on a broadcast titled Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. I want to shout out to those of you listening to the broadcast here in the United States. I want to welcome you and welcome those of you listening in Canada and Ireland, United Kingdom and Netherlands. Welcome. Welcome to those of you in Spain and to every country that I have not named that is listening to this broadcast. I want to welcome you to Jesus' Word, the Midnight Cry Broadcast. The phone number is 515-605-9887. That's 515-605-9887. Now, if you have any prayer requests, I pray with you. If you have any question about the lesson, I do my best in the Lord Jesus to answer it for you. If you have any comments, I ask that you limit it to a minute and a half to 2 minutes out of respect for the time of the broadcast. If you have any questions on how to obtain information about how to get a copy of the messages, I will get that to you also. I do want to stress that I do understand that there are some of you who may have questions, who may have prayer requests, that you just don't want to do it over the air. Not a problem. Contact me at NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. That's NathanielHunt1971@gmail.com. And I will get back to you on that. So, having said that, for those of you that's listening, if you don't mind, because I do understand some of you mind, when I ask about, hey, joining me in prayer, some of you may say, hey, I don't do that. Well, that's your preference. But to those of you who don't mind joining with me in prayer, if you don't mind, let us pray. Most gracious God, once again, we humble ourselves on this blessed day before you. And we are thankful, Lord, for another time that you've given us to assemble together. But Lord, we dare not enter your word without you. So we need the presence of your spirit to teach us in Jesus' name. And therefore, Lord, help us to understand the word of God. Help us to walk accordingly in that understanding and that revelation knowledge in the name of Jesus. So, Father, we thank you. And Lord, we give you all the glory and honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory be to God. We are on a new, but once again, not so new series. And I told you guys that when I start on this journey about the redemptive plan of the Lord Jesus Christ, that it was going to be different parts, different sections, what have you. Well, we are on another one tonight, and to be honest with you, this may be have just two parts. I don't know. I want to be led by the Spirit of the Lord as I do this. But the title of this message tonight is The Midnight Cry Being What Christ Came to Do. Once again, The Midnight Cry Being What Christ Came to Do. Okay. Now, some of you may say, okay, what do that have to do with the plan of redemption, the redemptive plan? Well, as I discussed with you guys and as we've been looking in the scriptures, we see that Christ came to redeem man, okay? And the title of this message is dealing with being what Christ came to do. He came to redeem us. We're going to talk about how can we actually be redeemed, okay? So in other words, Christ did his part, but there's something we must do to actually be redeemed, okay? And when I say that, that's not negating what Christ did, okay? In order for that plan of redemption to take the power effect in your life that you need for you to be redeemed, you have to do something. Christ laid down something that we must do in order to be redeemed, to be what he came to do, okay? Amen. Glory be to God. And so I want to start off, and if those of you that have your Bibles with you, hey, won't you break out your Bibles? I do understand that some of you may say, I don't have a Bible. Well, if you got a pencil and piece of paper, hey, get that out. Jot these scriptures down, and after the broadcast, hey, you can go back and study it for yourself. Amen. Now, I would like to open up with the book of Romans chapter 10, the book of Romans chapter 10. What we're discussing tonight, as well as all the parts we discussed, is vitally important, okay? I think that, looking for the standpoint of what I'm in, the ministry, I think that we have fallen short many times of explaining to people the fullness concerning this plan of redemption. And when I say we, I include myself, okay? And I think that also when we talk about what Christ did for us, being our Savior, that he saved us and that he redeemed us, I think that we fall short concerning letting people know that, quote, also this is not automatic, okay? In other words, there's something that man has to do in order to be that, okay? See, Christ already provided so we can be that, but there's something man have to do in order to be that, that it's not automatic. And I feel as, since I am called in the ministry of the Lord, I feel that many of us in the ministry have fallen short, once again, of fully explaining to people about this plan of redemption, about, yes, Christ came to redeem us, but we don't fully explain to people about what must we do to be redeemed, okay? So Christ already did his part, and we must let people know that this thing is not automatic. You got people think it's automatic, so since they think it's automatic, they think that there's nothing they need to do, nothing they have to do, per se, to be that. They can just, you know, continue to live like they've been living. No break, no anything. Don't even have to accept Jesus and all that and think that they still going to reap the good, go to heaven. And once again, there are people that believe that. And part of that thinking, I have to be honest with you, part of that has to be placed in dealing with the ministry because, like I told you before, we have not fully explained to people about what Christ have done and how we can be what he came to do. And one of the things he came to do is redeem man. So he did his part in getting man to be redeemed. Now man has to do his part to be that. Okay? Amen. Glory be to God. Because if you don't do your part to be that and you die in your sins, understand this, you're not going to the pearly gates. I have to be honest with you. Ain't no need of me lying to you. You have to do, listen, Christ laid down in his word and showed us that we must obey his commandments, okay? Not our own commandments, but his commandments. And in his commandments, when he command you to do something, especially when it's connected to your salvation, to you being redeemed, etc., and you don't do it, then you can't be that, okay? You got to understand, you can't be that. And so many people think what Christ did is, quote, automatic, okay? So I don't have to make no change in my life. There don't need to be no change. Hey, I can just keep on doing what I want to do, to keep being a whoremonger, keep being a murderer, keep being a serial rapist, keep being all of that. And I hope when I die, I'm going to bust the pearly gates wide open and reap the good. Well, that's not true, okay? That's not true. Now, Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Now, look what the word of God said. It said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now he said, whosoever, which means this word is not confined to whether you are black or white, Chinese, Spanish, you know, Latino, you know, European. It's not confined to you whether you are male or female, you know, it's whosoever. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, one of the things that we want to remember is that, remember when you was in school, or when we was in school, there were words that were called synonyms, okay? And synonyms are words that mean the same, but they're spelled differently, okay? So since we're talking about Christ redeemed us, must we do to be redeemed? I want to read to you some synonym words to the word redeem. Some common words such as deliver, ransom, reclaim, rescue, and get this, save. So when we go back and look at verse 13, it said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now, since save is a synonym of the word redeem, we can put redeem there, and we can read it like this. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be what? Redeemed. So here, there's a responsibility put on man. And what is that responsibility? To call upon the name of the Lord. Okay? In other words, once again, it's showing you it's not automatic. Yes, Christ did his part, but it's not automatic. That means there's a responsibility given to man in order for man to be what Christ came to do. It's redeemed, okay? So he says, so whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, or in other words, shall be redeemed. Now, here's the question. How do we call upon him to become what he came to do? In other words, since we are told here, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved or redeemed, how do we go about calling upon the name of the Lord to become redeemed? Well, the answer is in the same chapter. Let's go back to verse 8 and look at verse 8 to 11. He said, but what say it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith. Do you see that? Which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God had raised him from the dead, thou shalt be what? Saved. Do you see that? Do you see that? Hallelujah. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. Your heart symbolically here represents what? Your spirit. So with the heart, it's not talking about that, the organ in there that's pumping blood. It's talking about your spirit. He said, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. But the scripture said, whosoever what believeth on him shall not be ashamed. So we have to call upon him, get this, and accept him by and through what? Faith. You understand what I'm saying? We have to act on what we accepted about him to be true. Okay? That he's the Redeemer. And so he laid down that we should call upon him to be saved. How do we call on him? Upon him? In faith, by faith. But doing what? He said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and what? And believe. You got to exercise faith. Believe what? In your heart. The God that raised from the dead, you shall be what? Saved or redeemed. So faith is involved. Now understand this. We're not talking about the average faith now. Okay? What faith? You said, well, Brother Nate, what kind of faith you're talking about? Well, here it's talking about when you're believing, because you need to believe to have faith. This faith that you got to operate in is what is called the God kind of faith. Okay? The God kind of faith. Now, I want to tend to go here, but I'm going to do it anyhow. So you said, well, what is this God kind of faith? Well, let's go to let's go to Hebrews chapter 11. To understand what this God faith is. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1, where we have to believe, call upon the name of the Lord. He said, whosoever should call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How do we call upon the name of the Lord? He said, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God that raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He said, the word is nigh thee in thy mouth, the word of what? Faith. Okay, so what kind of faith do we need to operate in order to be redeemed? Well, let's look at Hebrews 11 and 1. It gives us the answer. He said, now faith is, okay? So if I go any further, he's telling you, this is the God kind of faith here. And he's telling you the God kind of faith operates now. Because the word is put in what? In present tense. Remember in school you had a what? Past tense, present tense, and future tense verbs. So since is in the present tense, and he said now faith is. Faith, this kind of faith, this God kind of faith operates what? Now. It doesn't wait later to believe. It doesn't say I used to believe in the past. It believes what? Right now. It is the faith that exercised right now. Okay. He said now the faith. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. So this God kind of faith doesn't go by your senses. You understand that? It doesn't go by what you feel. It doesn't go by what you think, okay, in order to believe. It don't go by what you see with your regular eyes to believe. No, it goes by what you believe, what you accept of the word of God. That's how the God kind of faith works. So when he told us in Romans 10 that if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and believe that God had raised him from the dead, now think for a minute, those of you that say, how many of you was actually there when Christ rose from the dead? Huh? I bet you I ain't going to see no hands, even if y'all was before me. You ain't going to see my hand raised. But what? What do? We believe. We believe. Amen. We accept the word. That's what the God faith. The God faith doesn't go by its feelings in order to believe. It doesn't go by what it sees. It don't go by what it thinks. It goes by what it believes in the word of God. Okay? You get what I'm saying? Just like if you were talking to Jesus right now, and Jesus, I'm talking about actually talking to Jesus, and Jesus tell you, say, I want you to jump high off the roof. You're going to fly. Well, when you take Jesus at the word, what you going to do? You're going to just do it. You ain't going to look down and say, man, geez, I jump off this house, man, I ain't going to make it. I'm going to hit the ground or I'm going to hit. No, you go by what Jesus' word says. That's the God faith. You don't go by what you see or what you feel. So in other words, the God kind of faith doesn't appeal to your senses in order to believe. You understand what I'm saying? So this faith, when he said the word is nigh thee in Romans 10, the word of faith which we preach, that if you will believe in your heart, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Okay? Based on what? What are we believing based on? On the word of God. Because none of us was there, okay? None of us was there to actually see Christ raised from the dead. Do you get that? But the God faith says, I believe what the word says, despite me not seeing nothing, not feeling nothing. That's the God kind of faith. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I just thank God for the precious word. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. Glory to God. Mark chapter 16. Thank you, Jesus. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to look at verse 15 and 16. And we're looking at, like I said, being what Christ came to do. What do we need to do in order to be redeemed? Okay. What do we have a responsibility to do something? See, Christ already did his, and so he's letting us know from what we've seen in Romans 10, we have a responsibility. Okay. See, what Christ did, thank God for what Jesus did, but it's not, quote, automatic. We got to understand this, okay? And this is what we're not fully preaching to people. So we're just telling a part of it. Yes, Jesus died for your sins. He redeemed you and all this stuff. Okay, we're telling them that, but we're not telling them the responsibility, or at least we're not proclaiming and expounding on it as much as the part of what he did. We're not fully making it equal per se. You understand what I'm saying? In other words, we're telling more about what he did, which we're supposed to. Don't get me wrong. But we're telling less of man's responsibility. And so we're letting man think that, oh, I ain't got to do a thing. Okay. Jesus did it all. I can just keep on, man, I ain't got to miss a beat. I can keep living as a whoremonger, a dope dealer, or psychic, or adulterer, or drunkard. I can just keep living. And so if I die, phew, I'm going to bust the pearly gates wide open. I'm sorry, that ain't true. Now look at Mark chapter 16, verse 15 through 16. Now look at what Jesus says here. Very important. And he said unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, preach the gospel. The gospel is also the word of God, right? Amen. Preach the gospel to every creature. So he wants everybody on the earth to have a chance to hear the gospel. Do you hear that? Listen, it ain't this stuff about, you know, you got some people think that only some certain people need to hear the gospel. Nope. And to some of you Christians who won't go and tell the people the word of God, God didn't say keep the gospel among your little selves, okay? He didn't say just sit around in the church building and just preach to one another and don't go out and tell the people. He did not say that. He said preach the gospel to every creature, amen? Now, notice what he said. Go ye and talk to every creature. He that what? Believe it. Do you see that? And is baptized shall be saved. Do you get it? Once again, save is a what? A synonym of redeem. So he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Do you see that? So we could put redeem in save place and said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Redeemed. Okay? Do you see that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. He said, he that believeth. Okay? And is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. Now, I'm going to show you where it's stressed more on the believing. Because some of you look at baptized and think about baptism in water per se, thinking that if a person ain't baptized in water, they ain't saved. That's not true. A person can be saved even though they haven't been baptized in the water. That's another subject. But I want to show you how it's more on the believing. Now, notice he said in verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be what? Saved or what? Redeemed. Okay? So the person get redeemed by what? Believeth. Okay. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now notice that in the second part of that verse, he didn't even mention baptized. You notice that? Well, why is that? Because if you don't believe, ain't no need to talk about baptized. Okay? So the stressing more is the what? On the believing. Okay? That's the most important thing, the believing. Okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Because if you don't believe, you don't need to talk about no baptism. Okay? Amen. So we see here that man was given a responsibility to do something, to be what Christ came to do. Okay? See, when the smoke clears, you want to be what Christ came to do. You don't want it just to be talked about what Christ did. Okay? And don't be what he came to do, because if that be the case, you still ain't busting the pearly gates open, because it'll be just left up to what Christ did and not your responsibility you did to be what he came to do. Okay? Because he opened the door for you to be what he came to do. And he gave you the instructions and guidelines on what to do to be what he came to do. Okay? But see, if you're at the point where, you know, like you got some people, you know, you talk to, you know, some of you have witnesses, some people about Christ, and they say, hey, I don't want to hear it. I don't believe in him and blah, blah, blah. Well, what you had to do? You had to go on, right? So do this mean that them people straightway just going to bust heaven over because they, no. Amen. See, this is one of the things that some televangelists on TV have misled people about the Jews. If you listen to them preach, you would think every Jew is going to heaven. Because all you hear them talking about was, that's God's people. Now, the Jews under the Old Testament was God's ancient covenant people, okay? But however, that did not exempt them from having to receive Christ in order to be saved, okay? You get that? Because remember, they crucified the Messiah. Plain and simple. They rejected the Messiah. Still today, have to receive the Messiah in order to make it in. You get what I'm saying? They don't get no automatic because, they God, ancient covenant people. Well, especially under the old covenant, okay, because of the promise that God made to Abraham, but yet still, they got to receive Jesus Christ as Lord. Amen. You understand that? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Now, let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 7. I want to take a look at this. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Thank you, Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to go to verse 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Okay. Now, look what the Word of God says. Now, this is what Paul says to the Christians at Corinth. And he says, for godly sorrow, now I word that, you know, for godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation. Now remember the word salvation here. Not to be repented of, but the sorrow of the world worketh death. Okay. Now here we are told of two types of sorrows, which that's another subject. But I wanted to show you what's involved concerning to being redeemed. Now, the word salvation here, okay, when you look up the word salvation, the original Greek word for that is soteria. And soteria, now here it is, means the rescue or safety, physically or morally. It means deliver, health, salvation, save, saving. Now remember, at the start of this broadcast, I gave you some words that were a synonym to the word redeem. Okay? And remember, if you remember, and I read it off again, the word, the synonym to, or common synonym words to the word redeem would be deliver, ransom, reclaim, rescue, save. So the original Greek word, soteria, which means what? Rescue or safety, physically or morally. It means deliver, health, salvation, save, saving. Remember, as you may have heard, probably two or three synonym words to redeem in there. So we see that also, along with faith, what is involved in being redeemed or to be what Christ called us to do is what? Is repentance. He said, for godly sorrow, work of what? Repentance to salvation. So godly sorrow and repentance, along with the faith, okay, helps us to be what Christ called us to be. Now, let's talk about repentance for a minute here. Because on this repentance here, I want to give you three definitions about repentance. But number three, it's the one that is the most, how should I put it? I would say fought against or not accepted. When you look up the word repentance means the act of repenting. So if you go deeper and look up the word repenting, three key definitions come in the word repenting, which involves really all of them when you dealing with full repentance, okay? Number one, repent means to feel remorse or sorrow, feel remorse or regret. Okay, that's involved in repent. Okay, repent also means to have a change of mind, which you do in order to repent. You have to change your mind about, you know, what you did, what you're doing, all that. But here's the third one. This is the one right here where, you know, if I had to say just many times, most of all, was struggling. And you have some people that really don't want to. This is why their repentance don't be full repentance. It also means to turn from sin to the amendment of one's way. So, in other words, turning away from that thing you're doing. Okay? Now, in general, when we're talking about being what Christ called, Christ came to do in being redeemed, that turning away from the sin is to be turning away from a sinful life. You get that? See, that's why I say you got some people, they think that they still can live that sinful life, because for many of them, it has not been explained to them that when you accept Christ, you're not accepting Christ to live the same life you was. You're accepting Christ so you can live a new holy life that's pleasing to him, that will put you on the right road on the way to the, quote, pearly gates. You understand that? But if you call yourself, quote, accepting Christ, but you're still living the same sinful life, because you got to remember, the sinful life had you on a road to hell. So all you doing is speaking, but you living in a way that still got you on the same course to hell, on the same road. So in repenting, you have to turn away from that sinful life. So therefore, in a nutshell, we see to be what Christ came to do for us, we have to exercise faith and repentance. Do you see that? Got to exercise both of them, people, faith and repentance. See, that's the responsibility that is on man, okay, to be what Christ came to do, to redeem him. The responsibility is on man. You get that? That part of the responsibility to be. See, and like I said, this is something that we don't fully, I say, explain to people, okay? Let's go to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Now, see, this is very important, because I'm going to tell you why it's important. And I'm going to make this statement, and this is a statement of truth. Now, you can ask God about it. I want you to ask him about it. But in these last, when Christ come back, and the people he coming back for, they're going to be a lot of shocked people. And basically, these shocked people is going to be people in the church. You say, well, what do you mean? Well, Christ is coming back for saved people, not baptized people. You say, now, wait a minute, I'm confused. What do you mean? Some people have joined churches through just being baptized. They're not really saved, okay? They just became a member. See, many of your churches, they are so centered on baptizing people. And one of the top reasons, if I was playing Family Feud, that I believe with theme tone number one, is because they want to get just more members. It's not a center goal on getting souls for Christ. It's now by getting more members in the church building. Okay? And more members you have, more money comes in the collection plate, period. Okay, let's be honest about it. Let's not, you know, play no games. Let's be straight up with it, okay? So you got a whole lot of, in many of the churches, you got a whole lot of baptized members, which no doubt in my mind is more than there are saved members. Because so many churches are expressing baptism. See, like I told you, when I grew up around some Baptist churches. And many times when I would hear them say the doors of the church is open, well, I didn't fully understand what this overall thing is supposed to have been. Even if I didn't fully understand and I wanted to be baptized, they still would have went ahead and did it anyhow. You get what I'm saying? And I'm pretty sure that some of you that's listening to this broadcast, maybe you were just baptized and, you know, you really didn't fully understand about salvation, about Christ. Just like I'm telling you now about the part of faith and repentance and why for you to be redeemed or be delivered from sin or be delivered from that awful state that we'll talk about in another section. And you didn't understand to be what Christ came to do, that you had a responsibility, okay? And you may have been led to think that, hey, all's fine and well, okay? But not so. You had a responsibility. Amen. Now, let's go to Acts chapter 2. We'll go to Acts chapter 2. And Peter is preaching to the men of Israel. He preached to them about Christ, what Christ did. And the Bible let us know that the men, they were attentive to what he said. In fact, the Bible said they became pricked in their heart. Now, He goes to sorrow. The God is sorrow. Okay? And he is now, they having the faith because they heard. Remember, faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So they took heed to what Peter was saying and accepted it in their heart. Now they're pricked in their heart. And verse 38 said, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall what? Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Then they that gladly received his word were baptized. Now, gladly received, what was his word? What he told them to do. He said, repent and be baptized. Okay? Well, you say, well, brother Nate, where were the faith at? They heard. The Bible tells us in verse 37, now when they heard this, heard what? Heard what Peter told them what Jesus did. Romans 10 said what? Faith coming by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So when you are hearing the word that is preached or taught, you hear or accept it in your heart, the faith is there. Okay? Now it's time to exercise. So he said what? Repent. Okay? That's involving your faith, exercising you doing something. Repent. He said, repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sin, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And verse 41 said, then they that gladly received his word were what? Were baptized. See, they weren't baptized until after they what? Exercised faith and repentance. I thought I'd put that in there because, like I told you, you got a lot of people thinking that baptism, water baptism, is the main thing. And you got many people who have been misled. Some of them simply don't care. Thinking that because they were dumping some water, that they automatically go into heaven. Look, and not to get off on this subject, but water baptism is not valid unless the first works are done. If the faith and repentance is not exercised, you're just getting wet, period. Okay? I know some of you may not have heard that, and I understand why you haven't heard it, especially if you're going to these particular churches who are saying, hey, give us your membership. See how beautiful our building is? Okay. Amen. You see how many seats we got? We got good cushioned seats up in here. Even our collection plate is made of wood. You just throw it out there, drop the money. It sounds so good when it comes to the pew. They just make a soft sound. Amen. Now some of you may say, okay, brother, now you're getting far-fetched. Okay. But you got to understand, these extremities. Now, all of my telling you not far-fetched because there are some extremities that these churches are going to just to get membership. Why? Because it's about the dollar. It's about the dollar. Well, let me add another thing about it, too. It's not just the dollar, but it's about bragging rights, too. Okay? People brag more on their buildings of worship. Especially they went and got it remodeled or got something done. People are bragging more on their buildings and worship and stuff like that than they are on the true and living God. Okay? Amen. And, you know, that's what they're focused on. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. That's what they're focused on. Now, let's go to Mark chapter 1. Mark chapter 1. Glory to God. Thank God for the precious word. Okay, Mark chapter 1. I think we're going to be looking at verse 15. Verse 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Mark chapter 1, verse 14 and 15. Now, look what the word of God says here. Now, after that John was put in prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom. What did he come preach? He preached how much money he got? Nope. Did he come and preach how bad a man he is? Nope. He came preaching the gospel. It's sad today that many of us in the ministry have gotten away from preaching the gospel. We preaching anything else. We preach it straight out how to be rich, how to be successful in this and that, okay? But as far as sticking to the gospel, many of us have compromised it because what we have seen, that we have found out that some people are not interested who we want to get to become our members, okay? So we have to preach something that they're interested in. You know, it's just like today, you look at many churches, they're resorting to shake your behind music, okay? They, you know, and they're calling it gospel music. And in the churches, they're saying, okay, let's do something for the kids. Now, I understand you're doing something for, but even what you do for the kids should have a boundary, okay? So now you got the churches going over the boundary. We all into twerking in the churches. Yeah, I mean, straight down, straight in your face, twerking, okay? And now we starting to add some of these soul train dances to the praise team. You know, the praise and dance, the praise team. You know, now we got, and it's been over, what, last few years, now the name praise team has come up. And I've been taking a look at these praise teams through the years. And, man, there's a, especially with the young folks, because this is the way we think that we don't see the young folks being interested through the way of Christ being lifted up. We're thinking about them being interested and by them shaking their body. So we have the praise team, where the praise team is bumping and jumping and shaking their body and shaking their behind and twerking and everything, doing the Soul Train leg kick in the air, doing the Soul Train line like Kirk Franklin and them doing. And we thinking that's it. And talking about, we're leading them to the Lord. I'm like, what Lord you leading them to? I mean, what Lord? I mean, because, see, you got to understand, if you pull them in that way, you're going to have to keep shaking your behind and kicking your leg up, okay? Because they're destined to get bored quickly again, okay? Jesus said in the Bible, if I be lifted up, I would draw all men unto me. Now, verse 14 said, now after that John was put into prison, Jesus came to Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Notice he said repent and believe. That's what we've been talking about. And believe what? The gospel. What is the gospel of Jesus Christ? What he did for us. Okay? How he came to redeem us. That's in the gospel. And he told us to repent and believe it. Okay? That's how we become what he came to do. You understand what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Glory to God. I sense the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Jesus. That's how we become what he came to do, to redeem us. Amen. Hallelujah. Now, I want to read a verse from the book called The Record of Nephi. Thank you, Jesus. And here, Nephi, and I think this is Nephi, man of God, amen, and remember, I share with you guys that the Nephi record is a witness of the commandments and the dealings of God how God dealt with man, his statutes and commandments, another witness of the Lord Jesus Christ, because remember, God always followed his protocol in the mouth of two or three witnesses. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, in this here, in fact, this second book of Nephi, and I may need a correction, I think this one that was speaking here was a man named Jacob. Now, not Jacob from the Bible that was named Israel, another man of God over here on this continent. And I want to read to you the words that he said, amen, that was given to him by the Lord, and how he talked about, and I want you to give me your undivided attention. He said, And how great the holiness of our God. Now, this is for Christ came in the flesh now. This was given unto them. For he knoweth all things, and there is not anything, say he knoweth. And he cometh to the world that he may save all men. This is Christ coming in the flesh. If they will hearken unto his voice, oh, hearken to his voice. That's meaning what he says, okay, what he says. For behold, he suffered the pains of all men, yea, the pains of every living creature, both men, women, and children, which belong to the family of Adam. And he suffered this, that the resurrection might pass upon all men, that all might stand before him at the great and judgment day. And he commanded all men that they must what? Repent and be baptized in his name, having perfect faith in the Holy One of Israel, or they cannot be saved or redeemed in the kingdom of God. Did you hear that? So here, it was given to the servant of God here, the same thing that I read to you in the Bible. It's the agreement that there must be repentance and faith exercised, or they cannot be saved. Once again, saved being a synonym of redeemed in the kingdom of God. So there was a responsibility given to man also to be what Christ came to do. You get what I'm saying? Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. It's plain and simple. Okay? Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I want to come with one more scripture. This scripture coming from the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, sent through his angel messenger, the Elijah, the midnight cry, in the last hour, the modern day voice of the Lord. Amen. Coming to you with a scripture from what is called the 102nd message, the message Jesus sent out April the 5th, 1985. I want to read to you what he says in here. He says, and this is what he gave his angel authorization to say, to speak unto us, because this word is to all mankind. He said, I speak that all Christendom may flow together and abide by the Bible revealing great truths. So the word of the Lord here supports the Bible, okay? The Bible revealing great truth, the coming forth of the record of Nephi, the book, and the word of the Lord. Behold, the books, that's with S, that will lead all mankind to eternal hope and salvation, deliverance in the Lord. So here, this midnight cry, the word of the Lord, the messages of the Lord Jesus Christ through his angel messengers supports the Bible and the record of Nephi and what we just studied. Do you hear that? Letting us know that thing still stands now. See, you got so many churches trying to change the law or the gospel of Christ to fit the criteria of people because they want more members, okay? And so that's why you have to watch with these, what they call church bylaws, where if the church bylaws, okay, if they contradict the overall law of the gospel, then guess what? You don't need to follow that, okay? I might well be playing with you on that, okay? Because like I told you, many of the churches, they're making up their own laws because the main thing to them is attraction. They want to attract people their way. It's not about lifting Christ up. Listen, I'd rather bring you to Christ way than my own way. If you don't want to hear Christ way, then I just leave you alone, okay? Period. I'm not going to make up my own way. Because, see, you'll be coming in because of me. I don't keep that same way up before you. You're going to instantly quickly leave, okay? I mean, that's just, you know, straight up truth. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So I am so grateful to the Lord Jesus Christ for this opportunity that he have given today for me to go into the word of God with you. Let us pray. Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the blessed word. I thank you, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, that you are your word. And I thank you for the strength that you've given me. And Lord, for everyone that's listened to this broadcast and wanted to know the truth, I pray, Lord, that you have touched them right now. I pray that by your spirit, Lord God, that you have revealed to them the things that they did not know. I pray that this seed, Lord God, that is planted in them, that you will water it and cause it to grow. I pray that their heart will turn to you more and more, and that they will desire you even the more. I pray in the name of Jesus. So, Lord God, I glorify you. I magnify you because you're worthy to be praised. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Glory be to God. Well, once again, I thank God for another opportunity to come before y'all with the word of God today. And if the Lord say the same, I will be back on tomorrow. If not, it will be Friday. But look for the advertisement then. So, and before I go off, for those of you who've been listening, I want to say this, and I have been on these broadcasts, I've been forgetting, but listen. Whatever you're listening to me on, whatever page you're listening to me on or looking at, if you see the word follow, click that button, and it's going to ask for your email information. Put it in. And the reason why that's so is so that whenever I do a broadcast, it will automatically alert you, okay? That's the only thing that's for, okay? Because, once again, our regular time used to come on at 7 o'clock, but sometimes I have to do it at other times earlier, and, you know, because certain things come up, and I still want to get the broadcast done. So if you would, click on that button, follow. Put in your email information, so whenever we do a broadcast, it will automatically alert you. Amen? Glory to God. So, once again, I thank God for all you've been listening. This is Brother Nathaniel Hunt with the Church of Christ Eliza Message. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless.